So welcome the Boutier family, Richie and Christy and Amanda, Hezekiah and Kaylee. Why don't you guys come on up here? You know, you ever have a friendship or something that you just know was God ordained? You have somebody in your life and there's a connection in your life that you never thought was going to happen. But when it happens, you're like, man, this is a God thing. And that's how I feel with Richie and his wife and his kids. And, you know, my story is we had a lady from Brazil here, Steve and Elba Dolan, and they were talking about the water filter ministry. And my wife texted me. I was up in the sound room. She says, you're going to go to Brazil. And I shot right back and said, I don't think so. I am not going. I'm not going anywhere. I might go to Hocking Hills, but I'm not going to Brazil. But the next day, I just couldn't get it off my mind. And we had another video that was done of the water filters, and I just couldn't get those images of children being sick and people being sick. So anyways, we went down and we met this family. Pastor Dave and I met Richie and Christy and the kids here, and They are genuine. They walk the walk, and I believe in everything they're doing wholeheartedly. So, anyways, that's my introduction here. So, well, so glad you guys could make it. So they're staying up in Delaware County. So we weren't too sure if they were even going to make it here and stuff. So, and they're from Canada. So Richie said, I'll just get on a moose and ride down there. And I didn't know where he was going to get the moose, but. So we'll do a little interview process here, and Richie, we'll start with you. There we go. So there's that. So all right, give us a little synopsis of the ministries that you're involved in Brazil. What exactly do you do?
That's a good question. Sometimes I wonder. right now we're in a community called Portel, and we're working in a neighborhood called Portelinha. We went there with the objective of planting a church and really transforming that community. Brazil, we have areas that are known as favelas. And a favela is basically a ghetto. It was something that there had been a sawmill in that area. When it closed down, it owed the workers a lot of money. And as a result, the workers weren't getting paid. They invaded the area, smashed everything, and then they squatted it. And so the federal government actually stepped in, had to declare a state of emergency. And so it was something that when we went into that neighborhood, God really spoke to us just about transformation. So our heart's desire was to go in there and plant a healthy church, but a church that would really, bring transformation to the community. And so one of the things that we've done is we've started working a lot with youth. Hamon, who's kind of my right-hand man, he works a lot with the kids in the area. He's been teaching them music, and there's a lot of sports and things like that on the property that they can do. So just ways that we can kind of start getting involved in their lives. And we began building the water filters on that property as well. It was something that we'd done in the prior location in Port Jamaz, and we saw a lot of success with that. We have dental teams come from all around Brazil, and so we go out on the river and they make dentures. The last year they made about 100 sets of dentures for people, pulled teeth, did fillings, cleaning, teach kids how to brush, that type of thing. And as well, we also want to really be involved in planting churches on the river. And so Portel is kind of a neat area in that it's a hub to all these surrounding villages. And so one of our thoughts is that in the local church also, if we can raise up leaders to go out and start planting on the rivers, because it's an unreached area. It's just a huge field of ministry. And for the most part, those people are just living out there unchurched with no Christian witness. Mm.
Amazing. Yeah, I don't think there really is a typical day, right?
No, some days you're a mechanic, some days you're a carpenter, some days you're, well, you try to be a pastor every day and all of it, but yeah, a lot of variety.
Amen. All right, so Christy, as a mom and a missionary, what is the most challenging thing raising a family in the city of Portel?
I think the most challenging thing would be just where we are is very rural. I mean, it is a small city, so you can get amenities and stuff, but and I don't know that it's completely just all in the small city where we are, but it seems like everything goes really slow in Brazil, so any banking that you need to do, any grocery shopping, seems to take a lot longer to get done and accomplished than it normally would maybe in North America. Just the difficulty with internet and trying to homeschool the kids, it's sometimes a little bit challenging where we are at. And just the whole difference between Brazil and Canada or the United States, where you're in a first world country and then you're going into a rural third world country, and so that presents its own difficulties just in the opportunities and the availability of different things like that. So I think that would be a big challenge.
Yeah. It's different for sure. Much different than North America. All right, Richie, what got you interested in the water filter ministry?
Well, first of all, I had a need for one personally. Being out on the river all the time, you go to people's houses, and it's really typical. You know, the people on the river are so generous. So the one thing, as soon as you step into anybody's house, they want to give you a little coffee made with river water. And so I was constantly suffering from parasites as well. I like to spearfish, and we'd swim in the water, so we were always getting infected. And so it was one thing that was really important to us, to have clean water. And so we had some friends. They purchased one of these water filters from another organization. We tried it out, and it's like, wow, these things really work. And so I had a friend in Canada working with Samaritan's Purse, and the technology was developed really close to where he works by a guy named Dave Davner. And so he asked me, he says, would you guys be interested in these? And we said, absolutely, because it was something that we realized would make a huge impact on people, on their health, but also their finances. Because one of the things that happens for people to live on the river, as soon as they do get sick, if they're not able to deal with it out on the river, then they have to go to town, and that costs a lot of money. They miss work, they need to find a place to stay, they need to buy medications. And as a result of that, quite often when they can't afford to go to town, they'll actually go to like a witch doctor. So what really excited me with the water filter project is it affects all these areas. So it helps people in the area of health, it helps them in the area of finances. We're able to also educate them as far as sanitation and also spiritually. And it's something where, you know, as I mentioned in the video, it's just a way that it's a real practical way that we can really show people love. And as a result of that, you know, people say, hey, you know, why are you doing this? And it just really just shows, I guess, our love for the people. So it's just a kind of a practical way that we can reach out.
Amen. Yeah, and just so you know, when Richie says go to town, that's not like Reynoldsburg driving to Columbus. You know, it's hours. It's an hour and hours down the river to get to where a doctor is or something. So it would almost make sense to go to a witch doctor or something, because at least I don't have to get in the boat and spend money and miss work and everything else. So yeah, he's touching a need for sure. Okay, so Christy, what are some of the daily challenges in Brazil? You kind of already answered this, but that we in America might take for granted.
Excuse me. I think I did mention in my past question just the length of time that it might take to go and get groceries or banking or having to stand in line to get things done that might be automated or a little bit quicker here. I think one of the biggest things that maybe I'm straying a little bit from the question, but one of the biggest challenges would be just being so far away from extended family. And so to go, and of course there's Skype and FaceTime and messaging and email, but it's still not the same as being able to just pop in and see grandparents and aunts and uncles, and for the kids to be where cousins are. So I was thinking that would be one of the greatest challenges, would be to be so far away from close friends and family. Of course, we're making friends where we are in the community, but your family is very far, our family is very far away in Canada, so that's a difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm so their son Hezekiah here, he's about my son's age, so they have some similar interests, like Fortnite and stuff. But Hezekiah was telling me the best time that he can get online to play is between 5 and 7 a.m. Is that it? So if you have some children that like to play Fortnite all the time, you can say, well, listen, you could just get up at 5 a.m. and have that one little window. So there are a lot of things we do take for granted here. So, yeah. All right, so you do the water filter ministry, Richie, and then, but you also have a church. There is a picture that is, so we're showing some pictures here. There's a picture of a big, looks like a big building. That's his church. Tell us a little bit about that.
So when we moved to Portalinha, or in Portel, Portalinha's neighborhood that we worked in, or working in, sorry, we were able to obtain a piece of property because of the federal decree declaring a state of emergency. They had to give preferences to churches and NGOs to come in and work. And so this was the port for the sawmill. So it's actually really close to the center of town, and it's just right in the center of that community. And so we have a pretty good sized piece of property. So when we showed up there, we started holding church services in the boat. From there, we built a little school building. We kind of outgrew that, and then we put up the church building. But the idea is that our church building would be a real hub. You know, we didn't want to have a building that was just used one day a week. And so it's kind of constantly being used, you know, either for music or indoor soccer or ping pong, whatever it is. But the idea is that we could just really connect with the community. As well, in a neighborhood like that, there's no places for weddings or graduations and stuff like that. So it can kind of serve as a bit of a community center as well.
Okay. Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, when you exit your church property, you can go one way and go into the ghetto and go the other way and go into town.
Yeah, right? That's correct.
So,
yeah.
So you're right there, and we've seen it. I mean, and everybody comes over, they play soccer there, they play music. It is a central community meeting place for everybody. And when Richie and Christy say that we're about building relationships with people, trust me when I say that is what they mean. You know, that is exactly what they mean, and that's what they do. So, and that's why I'm honored to be partnered, our church partnered with them here. So, okay, so let's ask the kids a question, and I'll just ask you guys the same question. So also, so they've been on what's called furlough, which is kind of like an extended vacation, right? So they live in Brazil, and you've been down there for over 20 years?
Yeah.
Extended, yeah. So, but you've been in Canada since August, is that right?
That's correct, end of August.
End of August. So on their way back, you're heading back to Brazil Wednesday. Wednesday. So, you know, and we'll bless them and pray them out, but think of this. So they've been visiting family and stuff in Canada, and then they come here in Columbus. They've got friends in Columbus. They've got church family here that they know. So they're staying here for a little bit, and then they're going to back to Brazil and back to a whole nother way of living. Really, I mean, it's kind of what you're used to, but it's not what we're used to here, you know. So okay. So Amanda, we'll start with you, and I'll ask you guys the same question. But you've been away from Brazil for a few months now. What are you looking forward to doing when you get back?
I'm really looking forward to seeing my friends and everyone at church.
All right. Hezekiah, what are you looking forward to do?
I'm looking forward to seeing my dog and my friends.
All right. And Kaylee?
I'm looking forward to seeing my bunny Daisy and seeing my friend.
There you go. Amen. All right. Well, listen, let's give the Boutier family a hand here. And you know what? Let's stand up. And what I want to do is, Pastor Dave, can you come up here too? Let's lay hands on him. So after the interview, I was going to do a message on the water filter, and see, we have one right here. It's a little bit lighter, you know, so we're going to do things backwards. But what I would like to do is just, let's just bless you guys. You know, let's just pray for you guys. Come on in here, guys. So also, the children here are very involved in the church too. They play instruments on the worship team, and when we go down there, these three are our interpreters. You know, they're fluent in Portuguese, they're fluent in Canadian, and they're fluent in English. Yeah. But they play just a bigger role in the ministry as mom and dad do. I mean, you know, so I just want to bless you guys. So Lord God, I thank you for what you are doing with this family, God. I thank you for the partnership that this church has with the Boutsier family and the ministry that they have going on there, God. I thank you for the fact that we can give to purchase water filters, but not only are we giving people clean water, we are helping people to have jobs to build these filters and to deliver them. And I thank you for that, God. And as Wednesday comes closer, God, as they get geared up mentally and physically to head back to Brazil, God, I ask that you would just rejuvenate them spiritually, God. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Their home is from Canada, but their home is in Brazil right now, God. And I just pray, Lord God, that as they get ready to depart here from Columbus, Ohio, that you would just anoint them, God. Father, that this family grows closer together than they ever have, Lord Jesus. And that they go back to Brazil rejuvenated, Lord God. Now, I just sense that God wants you guys to know that he sees what you've done and it puts a smile on his face. And most importantly, decisions that you have on your minds, no matter how big or how small, but there are some decisions that you guys may be thinking about, God wants you to know he's already given you the answers. And that you guys will know what the answer is because your entire family will be in agreement. And I want to bless that, God. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. I thank you for this family. I thank you they were able to get here today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo! Well, let's give them a round of applause here. So, yeah, go ahead there. He'll turn that on.
Thank you so much, everybody, for your just embrace that you guys have come on board and gotten so behind us with our filter project and our ministry in Brazil. We appreciate your prayers and your giving and your generosity. So God bless you all.
Yeah.
I just want to say the same thing. Just a great big thank you to all you guys. We are so grateful for all that you guys do for us. You know, one thing that I always say, missions is a team sport, and it's something that we could never, ever do what we're doing without you guys. And so I hope that, you know, even as you guys just watch the video clips and stuff, I hope that you guys can just take a real great joy and delight in the work that, not that we're doing, but we're doing down in Brazil together. So thank you so much, and we really love you guys and appreciate you all.
Amen. Amen. Just to give you an idea of the water filter ministry, okay? The water filter ministry that we are partnered with in Brazil, we take that Easter offering, we take our entire Easter offering, right? And part of that goes to the water filters. If that's something that you feel that you want to be involved in and you want to support that ministry, then you can give to that ministry for our Easter offering. And the water filters cost $195. So you may ask yourself, well, what does all that entail, the $195? Well, here's the thing. These water filters, this is kind of like a replica of what they are. They're made out of concrete. They weigh 200 pounds. And then you put about another 80 to 90 pounds of rocks and stone and gravel and sand in them. And they're biosand water filters. And they'll last forever. There's all kinds of water filters out there that you can get, but Richie has done his research on this, and these are the best ones out there that will last, that people won't take apart and use things for other things, use parts and pieces of it for like a boat motor or something like that. And then bottom line, when I was talking to him, he said, I'll tell you what, nobody's stealing my water filters. Pastor Dave and I went down 2 years ago to meet with Richie and his family and to find out if we wanted to partner with them. And this family is gold. They are genuine. They are legitimate. They are legit. And they walk the walk. And I'm honored to be partnered with them. And so the water filters cost $195. And all of that entails that's in that cost is the cost of making the water filter. Richie has a crew that makes them, and then they've got to load them onto a boat, and then they take them into the Amazon region on hundreds of different miles of waters. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit, but there's labor involved, there's transportation costs, there's food they need to eat when they're out there. The closest place that they have is like 4 hours away on a boat. And then from there, they just work their way further out. And so all of that is in the cost of the water filter. So, and then bottom line is, what Richie does is when he's out there installing these water filters, he's building relationships with the people on the river. You see, when you live on the river like that, your neighbors might be far and few between, but there's a lot of trust that needs to be built first. He just can't go in there and just boom, you know, hit them with the gospel and tell them Jesus loves them and things of that nature, because there's all kinds of different spiritual practices that takes place. There's all kinds of different beliefs out there because it is the Amazon jungle. It really is. And so he builds relationship first. And you would be amazed. I've seen it firsthand. People recognize his boat and they flag him down because they know he's the guy with the water filters. We had one little canoe with an engine started. We were all done with our water filters that week. We were heading back to his church property. But here comes these people in this canoe. And I was thinking, are they pirates? Or do we need to be concerned? And so the Brazilians started, you know, they speak Portuguese, you know, and they waved them down and they came up. What was going on was they had a water filter and it was clogged and they didn't know how to fix it. And they saw Richie, his boat, coming down the river, so they got in their canoe and flagged him down. And so he turns the boat around, and it was like another hour or so before we got back onto our destination. But the relationship with other people is what is so important to Richie and his family. And I think to me, that's what speaks volume about the genuineness of his character. And that's what I love seeing and how he interacts with everybody. So that in a nutshell is what the whole water filter thing entails. So you're buying a water filter. You're helping somebody feed their family because they have a job where they build these water filters and there's a crew of guys that get on the boat and they go and Richie pays them for that. That's included. So you are supporting somebody else's family, and then you're helping somebody get clean drinking water. Another just a quick little thing. We went up to this one house on the river, and there's a canoe there, and Richie will tell you too, there's all kinds of reasons why the water is contaminated. But here's something that I saw. So there's a canoe in the water, there's an engine right there, and you ever see fuel on the water, right? So this guy wants a water filter, we're giving it to him, but this little girl, probably, I don't know, 8 years old, had a cup in her hand, like a coffee cup, and she just dips it in that water and takes a drink. They just don't know. They don't know. And so Richie goes in, he builds relationships, he helps educate them, because you have to meet the people where they're at. And then, hopefully, he can save their lives with clean water. So please be in prayer about that. You know, I know Easter is coming up soon in April, and this weather, I'm sure you have your minds on that. But just be in prayer about it. You know, we give to four different foreign missions here at this church. And I'll segue into my message part here. The thing that I want to say about this church here, and since we're a close-knit group today, this is such a generous church. You guys give above and beyond. And personally for me, I am honored to call this my church family because of the generosity that comes from you guys. You know, Easter, we take an offering. The entire offering goes to three different foreign missions, the Brazil water filters, the wheelchairs in Vietnam, and feeding children in Haiti. And then in October for our anniversary service, we take another offering that goes to Luke's Brigade, and that is first aid medical kits to these third world countries. But we are always amazed at the amount of money that comes in for these offerings. And it's because of you guys that we can do that. And there's no way this church could support four different foreign ministries if it wasn't for you guys. So for that, I feel blessed and honored to call you my church family, to be a part of this church family. And the other thing, too, is when there's a need, you know, we've been on this stage, we said, hey, this family has a need, you know, for whatever reason. You guys always come through. Always come through. When a life group has a need, that life group pulls together. I've seen this firsthand a number of times, and it's a blessing to be a part of a church family that believes in helping. So amen to that, and I praise you for that. So the other thing is, I just want to talk about giving. Let's talk about giving for a little bit here until Richie's family gets here. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, and I like the New Living Translation. It says, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. Different translations out there. I picked that one just because it spoke to me a little bit more on like today's language. But here's what this tells me. God identifies with the poor. God sees the poor. You know, when we go home in our homes and our families and this and that, and we're consumed with our lives, do you know who is seeing that person on the bench all by himself, huddled up, wrapped up because he can't stay warm? Or that family on the waters in Brazil that is sick because they don't understand why they're sick because they're drinking contaminated water. Or a person in Vietnam who can't get transportation because they don't have any and they could use a wheelchair. Or these hungry, starving children in Haiti. Do you know who sees them? God does. God identifies with them because we are all a part of his creation. And this proverb is what I would refer to as a biblical principle. In other words, if you do this, God says, I'll do that. God says, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord. Think about this. Do you ever think about loaning God 20 bucks? But if you lend to the poor food, clothing, water filter, wheelchair, money, God says, you are lending to me, and he will repay you. Is he going to give you 40 bucks because you gave 20? Maybe, but I don't think that's how it works. I think God will repay you in a number of ways. For instance, I consider myself very prosperous, but I don't have a big fancy car. I don't have a huge house. I don't have, you know, I'm not living in luxury. But I have a beautiful wife, I have two beautiful children, I have a roof over my head, I do have two cars, I have a lawnmower, I have a good life, I have great friends, I work at the best church in town, because we have services no matter what. Go on social media and just be like, pfft, pfft. But that's my definition of prosperous, you know? And so when it says he will repay you, you got to get creative with that. He will repay you. He will open doors that you wish would be open. He would close doors for you that don't need to be open. He will repay you. In other words, he will take care of you. That's what that says. That's a biblical principle. So that's Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. And then the other one is Jesus himself. In Matthew chapter 25, we can see how Jesus identifies with the downtrodden, the oppressed, the underprivileged, the hurting. Because this is a little snippet taken out of a large passage. But Jesus says, these are his words. They are in red in the Bible. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Jesus says, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. How we treat our fellow man, how we treat our neighbor, how we treat our coworkers, our family members, the people that we interact with, the people that we hang out with, the people that we see every once in a while that, I'm not. I see this guy every Friday over here. He's over here doing this, asking for stuff. I'm not today. You know, and that's not saying you have to give money to everybody that you see. I mean, that's, you got to figure that piece out. But Jesus says, that's me. That's me you're taking care of when you do that. You're welcoming me. You're loving on me. You're taking care of me. And so, what these two passages tell me is that God identifies with the needy. God sees those that are hurting. And it is up to us, his church, to take care of them. I think we have it a little bit backwards these days, because at least I haven't read the passages where it says in the Bible, your government will take care of the people in need. The government is not there to take care of the poor and the needy. The church is, because God identifies with them, and they are important to him. Just as I was worshiping, I just kept hearing the word loneliness. Loneliness. And I don't know if this speaks to anybody here, but I think it does, that you feel like you're in such isolation that you were so happy church was open today, because you didn't want to sit home by yourself again. And if that speaks to you, first of all, I just want to let you know that no matter how lonely you feel, you have a church family here that loves you, that cares for you, and that is going to pray for you right now. And also after the service, go back to the next step table. We will have people that are waiting to pray for you, or any other needs that you may have for that matter. And then I just want to thank all of you for bearing the weather coming out here today. You know, bless you in that. So, God, I just thank you, Jesus, that you, Lord God, your presence, your spirit can drive away any loneliness, all depression, all anxiety, all the what ifs, all the why me's. Fill them with your presence, God. Let them know that it is not just them against the world, but that is them standing behind you, Jesus, as you face the trials that they walk through, God. Let them know, Lord God, that you are their anchor, you are their rock. Thank you, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to close with one more song, and then we'll pray you off with a blessing.